From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Dan Gretsch.
I'm Scott Finn in Tampa, and we're here to decide once and for all which city has the truest claim on the Cuban sandwich.
So, Scott, help me out with this. We are here because of a decision that the Tampa City Council made last Thursday.
Yeah, the Tampa City Council, because, you know, the sandwich was born here, has decided to finally claim it as Tampa's sandwich. They renamed it the historic Tampa Cuban sandwich.
And obviously the Little Havana set is not happy about this at all. And joining us in the studio to help us adjudicate this Cuban sandwich crisis is Luis Clemens of NPR. Welcome, Luis.
It's good to be here. I'm hungry. I'm anxious.
Well, Luis is a Miami native. So, Luis, what qualifies you to adjudicate the Cuban sandwich crisis?
I grew up in Miami. I went to Belen Jesuit. And my first and fondest experience of a Cuban sandwich, I can pinpoint exactly where it was. It was Latin American cafeteria on Coral Way, right next to Radio Mambí. And I remember watching the cooks use the press and then remembering the excitement of seeing the little cheese melting on the side. It's one of my fondest memories. I think of Miami, I think Cuban sandwich. So Tampa has got a pretty uphill battle here, I'm afraid.
You are going to be judging 2 1-minute, 45-second radio pieces on two criteria. One, which one represents the taste of a Cuban sandwich better using audio? And two, which one makes the better historical claim for the ownership of the Cuban sandwich?
The trigger today has to be just the sound of the sandwich itself.
An audio taste test, so to speak. So are you ready to go, Luis?
Ready.
All right. We flipped a coin. Tampa lost, and so Tampa will go first. WUSF's Bobby O'Brien went out in search of the historic Tampa Cuban sandwich.
It all starts with the bread.
Tampa bread. You know that if you've eaten a piece of it because crumbs are everywhere.
That's Andrew Hughes. He wrote the history of Florida's first Spanish-Cuban restaurant, the Columbia, which is in Tampa.
If you go to Miami, you're not going to find that bread. You're going to find a squishy bread.
Tampa Sandwich is named after the Cuban cigar factory workers from the Ybor City neighborhood. They layered sweet shaved ham, shredded mojo marinated pork, Genoa salami, dry Swiss cheese, mustard, and three crisp dill pickles. The owner of King Corona Cafe, Don Barco, says a good Cuban is like a handmade cigar.
You have this different blending of tobaccos, and it's the same thing with the Cuban sandwich. All those different ingredients marry, and that's what gives you the flavor of the Ybor City Cuban sandwich.
Melissa Fair and David Audette are self-styled Cuban sandwich experts. Miami, to them, is neon, mojitos, and surgically enhanced women who wouldn't be caught dead eating the sandwich.
They wouldn't have eaten the bread, for sure. They would have just pulled the meat off and eaten the meat, and in private.
Then
so,
it up.
Yes.
Michelle and Robert Fiedo sell Cubans out of a food truck and will match their sandwich against anyone's, especially Miami.
Bring it on.
Now, that would be a great contest, but Miami's got to use their products,
and
we stick to our products.
Oh, and one more thing. We're told some Miami restaurants, and even the Miami-Dade School District, buys their Cuban bread from Tampa.
So, Luis, what do you think?
I love the opening of the piece and the sound of that outsized kitchen knife slicing through the bread and the breadcrumbs flying everywhere. And the reference to a Cuban cigar, the mere mention of it triggered the very sensation of Cuban coffee, smoking a cigar, and eating a Cuban sandwich. It was very precise, very evocative, very tough bar to meet here because it really had me thinking about how hungry I am right now.
Part of our argument is that although it is a Cuban sandwich and it's definitely a Cuban cultural artifact, that it's also, you know, an American sandwich too. It has a lot of German, Spanish, Italian sort of elements to it too.
It's true what you say, Scott. I mean, it really should almost be called the Cuban-American sandwich, because it is as much a reflection of what has happened with Cubans in exile in Florida, starting in Key West, going on to Tampa, and from there to Miami.
We took a slightly different approach to our half of the audio taste test. We produced something that we think really reflects the way that politics are done here in Miami. And this is WRN's Kenny Malone.
If we've learned anything this political season, attack ads win wars.
Yes, I'm Dario Moreno. I'm a political consultant in Miami.
Over Cafe con Leche at Versailles Restaurant on Calle Ocho, Dario and I strategized. He said we should attack Tampa's Cuban cred.
The truth is, you get better cigars in Miami. At least our city commission is three Cubans. The most prominent politician that ever came out of there was former Governor Martinez, and he spoke in a southern accent.
We need to focus in on one or two nuggets. I think back to the great political attack ads. Remember the Swift Boat ad?
I served with John Kerry.
I served with John Kerry.
John Kerry has not been honest.
So what's our Swift Boat moment here?
I think your Swift Boat moment is the salami.
The ingredients for an authentic Tampa Cuban sandwich are sweet ham, Genoa salami.
Well, salami belongs in pizza and Italian restaurants.
Salami, it's bologna.
Dario said this is about salami and family values. So Tampa, officially eat this.
Tampa claims to have the official Cuban sandwich, but what do we really know? Tampa uses Genoa salami. Is this the Cuban sandwich for your children? Miami Mayor Tomas Regalado doesn't think so.
If my abuela would have seen salami in a Cuban sandwich, she would do the signal of the cross and say, that's a sacrilege.
Even Tampa officials know the resolution is a farce.
This doesn't say this is the best tasting Cuban sandwich or the most popular or the one that we want to promote.
Then stop promoting it, Tampa. You're hundreds of miles from Cuba on a world away from reality.
Brought to you by the Facebook group for Patriots for Sandwiches and Family Values.
So, Luis, what do you think of Miami's argument?
Well, I love the attack ad notion because it's true to Cuban politics in general, on the island and off the island. But, you know, some things should be above attack ads. I mean, it was compelling, but it didn't provoke the taste buds. It didn't evoke the notion of the pork melting in my mouth. It didn't give me that sense of that first bite in that Cuban sandwich cut in half. I'm sorry, Tampa won this deal, and that's coming from a Miami native.
Dan, is it possible that you guys intentionally sacrificed taste for yet another opportunity to put down Tampa?
We were a little fact challenged on this one. We recognize that Ybor City was the inventor of the Cuban sandwich. That is hard to dispute. We instead decided that when the facts aren't on your side, to go on to the attack, recognizing that we were running a risk of the cultured NPR audience seeing through our attack. Not only is Luis able to see through our attack ad, but our online audience as well. We put this to a vote on NPR.org. 7,000 plus people weighed in, and the definitive winner in what I would call a landslide was Tampa's claim. 57% argued that Tampa's claim was stronger to a mere 43% for Miami. So I concede a double defeat to a worthy adversary, Scott Finn and WUSF in Tampa.
Well, and thank you to WLRN for putting us up to it in the first place. I really appreciate it. That does not mean I will not put that attack ad to PolitiFact. I think I'm going to be asking them to fact check that very soon.
Thank you very much, Luis, for participating in the fun.
It's my pleasure.
That was Luis Clemens from NPR in D.C. I'm Dan Gretsch in Miami.
And I'm Scott Finn in Tampa.